understand that Commonwealth Games begin today.
Indeed, it is.
Okay.
The opening ceremony of the British Commonwealth Games begins in the Scottish capital, Glasgow, this evening. About 4,500 athletes from 71 nations will take part in the 20th edition of the Games, which run until August 3rd. The five big names appearing at the Games or the competition include Jamaica's sprinter Usain Bolt, who will be competing in the 4x100-meter relay, England's runner Mo Farah, who will compete in the 5,000-meter and 10,000-meter races. Sprinter Shelley Ann Fraser-Pryce from Jamaica will be competing in the 100-meter dash. England cyclist Sir Bradley Wiggins will compete in the team pursuit. An English diver, Tom Daly, will be competing in 10-meter individual event at the Commonwealth Games. And now here is Daybreak Africa Sports editor Mark Ouma with today's sports news roundup. Take it away, Mark.
Ugandan Joshua Cheptegei won the first medal at the IAAF World Junior Athletics Championships in Eugene, Oregon State, United States of America on Tuesday. Cheptegei clocked 28 minutes and 32.86 seconds to triumph in the men's 10,000 meters, the only final on the first day of the championships. Kenyan Elvis Cheboi and Nicholas Kosimbei followed to claim the silver and bronze medals respectively, while Roblen Jan Aden set a Djibouti national junior record of 29 minutes and 43.49 seconds. Staying in Eugene, Nigerian Bashiru Abdullahi and Ghana's Yakubu Ibrahim each set their respective national junior men's 110-meter hurdles record. Abdullahi clocked 14.04 seconds while Ibrahim ran 14.61 seconds. Later, Mzamo Mgomezulu set a Swaziland junior men's record in the 100 meters in a time of 10.84 seconds. In football, Tunisia's under-23 team pipped their peers and hosts Qatar by a solitary goal in Doha on Tuesday. The two sides are preparing for the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympic football qualifiers. Elsewhere, the Algerian national football team players have donated $100,000 to help alleviate the suffering of children in the Gaza Strip in Palestine, the Algeria Football Federation revealed in Algiers. The children are trapped in the crossfire between the Israeli army and Hamas militants in over 2 weeks of fierce fighting in the Gaza Strip. The Algerian players noted that fans in Gaza supported Algeria's campaign during the recent FIFA World Cup in Brazil, where Africa's highest placed nation on the FIFA rankings progressed beyond the group stage for the first time in four outings at the World Cup. Finally, 18 African nations are among 71 countries and territories that have converged in Glasgow, Scotland for the 2014 British Commonwealth Games. African teams that will file through the opening ceremony today, Wednesday, are Botswana, Cameroon, Ghana, Lesotho, Kenya, Malawi, Mauritius, Mozambique, and Namibia. Others are Nigeria, Rwanda, Seychelles, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Swaziland, Tanzania, Uganda and Zambia. Over the next 11 days, sportsmen and women are vying for medals in athletics, badminton, boxing, cycling, diving, gymnastics, hockey, judo, lawn bowls, netball, powerlifting, rugby, shooting, squash, swimming, triathlon, table tennis, weightlifting and wrestling.
Mark Ouma is Daybreak Africa Sports Editor, reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa. Have a good day, Mark. In football news, Germany's World Cup winning coach Joachim Löw says he will remain in the post until at least the 2016 European Championship in France. There were reports that Löw could step down after Germany won the World Cup in Brazil with a 1-0 victory over Argentina. The 54-year-old Löw, who extended his contract until after the European Championship, replaced Jürgen Klinsmann in 2006 after being an assistant coach for 2 years. Löw said he needed some time to come to terms with his emotions after the World Cup, but had not thought even for a second about stepping down. It has been 5 years since Spain's La Liga giant Barcelona signed a centre-back, but with the arrival of Jeremy Mathieu, the hope is that a troublesome gap has finally been filled. Jeremy Mathieu, capped twice by France, has joined Barcelona from Valencia in a reported $27 million deal. The former Toulouse defender becomes the club's fifth signing of the summer under new coach Luis Enrique, following the arrivals of Marc-André Ter Stegen from German side Borussia Mönchengladbach Ivan Rakitic from Sevilla, Claudio Bravo from Real Sociedad, and Luis Suarez from English club Liverpool. DC United, the soccer team in the nation's capital, will soon have a new stadium. VOA's Daniel Brown conducted an interview with Craig Stouffer, the director of communications for DC United, to talk about the new stadium that is under construction in Washington, D.C.
The main goal for the stadium is certainly, the team has been in Washington, D.C. for nearly two decades. It's a 50-year-old building that's outdated in many ways, and DC United is looking to commit itself to the city for the foreseeable future. And the best way to do that is to have a new venue that is more appropriately sized and that has a lot of the sponsorship and revenue-generating opportunities that modern stadiums, have these days, including suites and billboards, a lot of the modern amenities that we just don't have at RFK.
So how much would this stadium cost?
$150 million in assembling land and providing the infrastructure, basically those kinds of costs that they would cover for any sort of development in the area where we'd like to build. And then the stadium is projected to cost $150 million in construction as well. And that would be privately financed by the team.
So where would the stadium actually be located? The
proposed location is a couple blocks southwest of where Nationals Park is in southwest Washington, just across South Capitol Street, sort of at the corners of the southwest waterfront and the Anacostia. So the location is ideal to help sort of bridge the gap between a couple different developments where Nationals Park is and Navy Yard on the southwest waterfront. It would create sort of complete an entertainment district, which is a rapidly growing and developing area of the city.
Yeah, that's actually a great place to actually put a stadium, by the way. Just a great atmosphere over there. What will the name of the stadium be?
Certainly haven't gotten to that level just yet. I think once and approved by the D.C. Council, certainly some of those conversations will begin in earnest.
So have you put your name in that pot so far, like the Craig Stadium?
I don't have the corporate base myself to support that.
So when you guys created the stadium, is there any kind of stadiums you guys looked into before creating this one?
The team has done a lot of work examining the best practices and soccer-specific venues within Major League Soccer and certainly some venues in Europe as well. There's no stadium in the country that has the prospect of being brand new and purpose-built in this kind of an urban setting. So there are some similarities to Providence Park, where the Portland Timbers play. That stadium is a retrofitted facility that's been around for a long time. Houston has an urban facility, but that city doesn't draw on transit the way that Washington, D.C. does. And Chicago's soccer-specific stadium is in a suburb. Even New York's Red Bull Arena is outside of Manhattan. So what we're really excited about is the prospect for this stadium to be kind of dramatically urban setting for a brand new venue in the country.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it kind of reminds me like an overseas stadium, and it kind of gives like the new flavor into D.C. How are the D.C. United fans reacting to the stadium?
I think they're so excited. I mean, DC United set the table for the league in the league's early years with an organically grown supporter culture that's diverse and dedicated to the success of the team. And for the longest time, they've been clamoring for a park that, that matches their kind of ambitions as well. So I think their reaction has been super positive, and they're excited to have a venue all their own and a place that they can really that they know will reflect the team and the city.
Yeah. What about the players too? How are they reacting to this?
It's difficult for the players because players they don't have the time to get too caught up in something like this that is about city development. They have games to play week in and week out, and they're fighting for their lives and for their jobs and things like that. So I certainly would imagine that whoever is on the roster at the time will be extremely excited and really welcoming for the opportunity to open a new venue.
Will this stadium create more jobs in D.C.?
Yeah, certainly the stadium itself is projected to create jobs for D.C. And certainly the stadium is projected to create a new source of tax revenue for the city, and that's part of the process of what we've been trying to relay to the D.C. Council as they deliberate over the details of the package. And that's part of our message to get out to the community, that this is a positive development. It's about jobs, and it's about tax revenue, and it's about creating a better place, for the citizens of this city and for the citizens of the region. And it's not just about a venue for DC United, but a venue that can host different kinds of events like concerts and collegiate sports, soccer, rugby, lacrosse, those kinds of things as well. This kind of venue really doesn't exist in DC, and the prospect of having a 20,000 seat will give the city the chance to have a venue that can serve lots of different purposes besides, bringing the world's game to DC. And we, certainly we believe that it can be the best and the shining star and for the sport in this country. But I think we believe that it's going to do much more than that.
That was VOA's Daniel Brown in an interview with Craig Stufer, the Director of Communications for DC United. In pro basketball news, ESPN reports that talks between the Chicago Bulls and Minnesota Timberwolves surrounding forward Kevin Love threatened to derail talk of a new formed Big Three in Cleveland. The Cavaliers are offering number one overall draft pick Andrew Wiggins and 2013 top pick Anthony Bennett to acquire Love from the Timberwolves, but Chicago is still in the picture. Finally, Emmanuel Mudiay has agreed to a one-year, $1.2 million contract with Guangdong of the China Basketball Association, the richest overseas contract ever for a high school player. The 19-year-old Mudiay had been faced with eligibility issues for his freshman season at Southern Methodist University under Hall of Fame coach Larry Brown and made the decision to play in China before becoming eligible for the 2015 NBA draft. Mudiay, a 6'5" guard, is considered a lottery pick in the class of 2015. Sources suggest with the Chinese season ending in March, Mudiay's plan will be to return to the U.S. and use the remaining few months to prepare for the 2015 draft in June. Mudiay has also taken out insurance policies to protect him in China against injury that could impact his future earnings. Well, folks, that's about all time will permit us for today on the sunny side of sports. I'm Peter Clotty. Back to you, King.
Okay, thank you.